Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 48 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life. And oh boy, we're going to be talking about her ketogenic diet today, too. But before we launch into that, I want to make sure you know that this episode of HER is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, please go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us. We really welcome your thoughts, and guess what? I even read them. Love your feedback. All right, it's time for HER.
HER, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about HER.
You've read about it everywhere, the ketogenic diet. What the heck is this about? There's so much confusion and craziness out there about what to eat and how to do it and what's going on. So we've got our go-to expert on all things ketogenic diet to help us. And that's Maria Emmerich. And her book is The 30-Day Ketogenic Cleanse. Now, she's written a lot of other things, cookbooks and all the rest of it along the same line. But we're really going to talk about that 30-day ketogenic cleanse, because I know what's happening with you out there. You're sitting saying, oh my gosh, I'm up to my ovaries in refined and processed foods and carbs galore, and I don't know what to do. So help me, Lord, give me strength. Okay. Maria Emmerich is a wellness expert in nutrition and exercise physiology. She's the author of several cookbooks and three nutritional guidebooks, including the global bestseller, The Ketogenic Cookbook, and Quick and Easy Ketogenic Cooking. Maria's blog, MariaMindBodyHealth.com, offers a unique combination of innovative recipes using alternative ingredients to less healthy options and easy to understand explanations of why these options are better for our health. Yeah, man. Maria, welcome to the HER podcast, for crying out loud.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, doctor. This is such a blessing. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, okay. Now, women are out there saying, what the heck? I thought ketones were bad for you. And what is a ketogenic diet? All right. So we're going to do the A to Z on this one so that women out there have a clue as to what the heck's happening. So go ahead and let's just start right on in. And what does a woman, let's first understand a little bit more of the nutrition science behind why anyone would even want to do a ketogenic diet.
All right, I'm game for that. So you agree that sugar is inflammatory, right? We all agree
refined
that
refined and processed
is kind of
sugar,
devil.
Very inflammatory. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So what people don't, so sugar, you know, keeping your blood sugar, insulin high, you know, that's detrimental in many, many ways. It's aging to our cells. It's aging to our skin. What a lot of people don't understand is complex carbohydrates, once they enter your bloodstream, your body breaks that down into glucose, also known as sugar. So a complex carbohydrate diet also needs to be limited, because that's also sugar when it enters our bloodstream. The second macronutrient is protein. And everybody thinks that this is a high protein diet, but it is not, because you can't store excess protein. Anything in excess is going to turn into sugar, just like it were a carbohydrate. So this is a very limiting carbohydrate diet, a moderate protein diet. Do you know what the third macronutrient is? There's only three.
Oh, here we go.
It's a naughty F word. It's fat. Yeah, it's that naughty F word we've been told to stay away from for so long. And what's interesting is our brain and our cells are primarily made up of fat. The sheath of our bones, if you're dealing with osteoporosis or osteopenia, the sheath of our bones are made up of fat, but not just any fat. It's saturated fat. It's that demonized fat we've been told to stay away from that nature created for us. What's interesting is mother's breast milk. You agree that a baby's first food should be breast milk, right?
That's
primarily made up of fat and cholesterol. And so what I find interesting is at what age, is it age 5 or 6, that we should stop consuming cholesterol? Because that perfect food of, you know, breast milk, I mean, what age should we stop consuming that? I mean, the nutrition that we've been giving from our doctors and dietitians, it's really been hindering on our health for many reasons.
Okay, now, so what we're saying is that I think across the board, there's not a woman out there who would argue with us that having refined and processed foods in general is a terrible idea. And that sugar in particular, which is ubiquitous, it's everywhere. It's in salad dressings, it's in ketchup, it's, you know, in all kinds of strange places. So that has been found to be pro-inflammatory. There's no question about that. But a lot of women are now going to say to you, all right, but I thought your body needs glucose, which is sugar, to be able to do its physical activity, to be able to put yourself out there, to that your brain works off glucose and that it prefers glucose for that. So how do you answer to people like that?
Well, there's two different, you could be a sugar burner, a glucose burner, or you could be a fat burner, a ketone burner. And when you are a sugar burner, that energy is very short-lived. I would run marathons. I grew up overweight, and I was running marathons trying to lose weight, and there is something at mile 20 called the wall. And that's because when you are a sugar burner, that is technically the amount of glucose one's body can hold on to for energy. And so when you hit mile 20, after that, you're running on pure adrenaline. And that's why they give you goo and all of the bananas and stuff on your race, is because you can't, you're a sugar burner. You're going to run out of energy. However, if you decide to change your fate and become a fat burner and burn ketones for fuel, there's over 20,000 calories that you can use for fuel that way. And so in that case, people are doing fantastic on ultra marathons, those 50 or 100 mile marathons, using ketones instead. And that's because there's no wall to be hit. You have, even a very lean person has a lot of fat cells that they can, you know, create ketones from and keep going during those races. I mean, this is my energy, and I don't have any caffeine throughout the day. I just have become such a more energetic person now that I'm not using glucose for fuel. And when someone says something like, well, don't you need glucose for your brain? I sadly watched my grandmother go through Alzheimer's, and that is basically type 3 diabetes. And that's where the brain can no longer use glucose for fuel, and they can use ketones. So if you switch someone over, which I've done numerous times, people suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, they have reverse signs of this terrible type 3 diabetes. And that's because they're starting to use ketones for fuel. Their cognition comes back. You could see it in their drawings. I've seen it's just miraculous of how more cognition they can have when they use ketones versus glucose.
Well, talk to me then about the percentages of the macronutrients in a ketogenic diet. So you've got 3 macronutrients, so roughly what are you looking at here for each one?
Well, we're looking at about an 80% fat, 20 to 15% protein, and very minimal carbohydrate diet. And it sounds impossible, but that's how my whole family eats, including my 6 and 7 year old. And they have, I'm not a short order cook, so they're thriving and growing well on a ketogenic diet. If you are using ketogenic diets for weight loss, which it doesn't have to be for that, it can be for depression, anxiety, so many other ways of healing, for, you know, athleticism, like I was mentioning before. If it is for weight loss, however, you need to remember that that 80% of fat to produce ketones can come from your own body fat and will come from your own body fat. So eating fat to satiety is key. A lot of times people get hung up on getting the percentages absolutely right. Like if they didn't have enough fat for the day right before bed, they would maybe drink some cream or something. But that's something that if it is for weight loss, your body will be in ketosis if you follow the keeping your carbohydrates low and keeping protein to a certain amount. And everybody's different with that. It depends on your lean body mass, which I have, you know, that information in the books on how to find your percentage, which is on average is about 30 grams for a woman, of, you know, an average size. But eating fat to satiety so you don't have those, you know, sugar cravings or things like that. But that is very satiating, and it keeps you full for a very long period of time. And that's why people can, you know, go longer periods of time without eating or thinking about food. I've had past vegans switch to keto, and they said, man, I finally feel peace with food, because they felt like they needed to eat every hour or two because they were just constantly hungry in the past.
Okay. Well, you know, this is really, you know, obviously a lot of women are saying, huh, what? You know, because a lot of women were also weaned on a low-fat diet, and they're confused, like, what's good, what isn't. The Mediterranean diet is different than this one. So take us through a day of your eating as a woman. So when you wake up in the morning, what time do you first eat, and what do you eat?
Well, I am an early bird. I wake up and I love to work and write in a fasted state, because that's when you're, you know, using those ketones for brain fuel. And then I usually like to jog in the morning. When I come back, I love to have a big old breakfast of eggs. I'm known to make this keto bread. And I keep that. I have extras in the freezer at all times, so I don't have to make it fresh all the time. But I'll take a keto bun, and I'll make eggs Benedict. And I make extra hollandaise so I can just gently rewarm that. And I make basically eggs Benedict on my keto bun, and that's my absolute favorite meal. I love eggs. And then just before we talked, I had a second meal of a hamburger. And a lot of times I take dairy away from people. That's something that is holding a lot of people back from ketosis. And sometimes they just overeat the dairy or the nuts, things like that. So, you know, a big old hamburger with some avocado. A lot of times I'll have it on that keto bread that I was mentioning before. So it's a nice old sandwich. And I'm in love with ice cream, so I make ice cream. I even have dairy-free ice cream, but my kids and I love to have that. So it doesn't sound like too bad of a day of Eggs Benedict, a hamburger, and some ice cream so far.
All right. Keep going. How's the rest of the day going in terms of a meal? You know, like what would dinner look like, for instance?
Well, dinner would maybe be something out of the crock pot. Tonight we're planning my pizza. That is fantastic, and my kids like to help make that. But a lot of times, most of the time, it's a busy day at work, and so I like to throw things in the crock pot the night before, so all I have to do is turn it on. Anywhere, I've done Sloppy Joe's in the crock pot, which is in the cleanse book. Or something like that, or it could be a steak if you are a grilling girl like myself. We have a nice indoor grill on the stove, and I like to grill a steak, and that's simple. You know, you just season it with salt and throw it on the grill, and then you could have some sort of sauce on it if you wanted to make that fat percentage even better. And I also like to have a side salad with that, and I have some great dairy-free salad dressings that would go along with that. And those would all be very high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carbohydrate meals.
Uh-huh. What if you're a vegetarian or vegan?
I do have vegetarian meal plans in some of my cookbooks, just because I have dealt with that so much. So it's not, I mean, again, it's not a high protein diet, so it wouldn't be an issue for that. A vegan is difficult because, again, the sheath of the bones is saturated fat and things like that. So we're kind of limiting ourselves that way for the health of our cells. However, it's been done before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, who do you find attracted to the ketogenic diet? What kind of, you know, groups out there are reaching out to you?
Well, the majority of the people I work with are people that want to lose weight. But I've also worked with plenty of type 1 diabetics, a lot of type 2 diabetics. And even people, you know, diabetics, you don't necessarily have to be overweight. I actually had a type 1 diabetic that I currently work with ongoing. And she tells me, Maria, I wish that I would gain weight when I cheated, because we are a vain society and we change things when we don't feel comfortable in our skin. She, however, just had her first baby and she's dealing with strokes because her A1C is through the roof. It's about 11.5. It goes down when she follows my guidelines. She's down to 5. But again, she doesn't show it externally when she cheats. And so I'll know when she's gone off the wagon because she doesn't contact me for a while. But so it doesn't necessarily have to be for weight loss. It could be for, again, athleticism. A lot of bodybuilders are doing the keto diet. It is everyone from Alzheimer's. But again, the majority of people that I work with are, the weight loss is their goal, and, they have some really drastic, amazing results. And I did too myself.
What are the biggest challenges of someone doing this ketogenic cleanse? If they're coming off the traditional Western diet, what is their biggest, challenge?
Food pushers, I would say, are when they go out to dinner with friends, a lot of times those temptations are still there at first. I used to be there. I had a hard time being around that stuff. Now it doesn't faze me at all because I just make sure that I have good stuff at home so I can have, you know, the like flourless chocolate tort when I get home. But people that are more extroverts have a harder time with any type of a diet because they are often out and socializing and, you know, people are pushing alcohol and, you know, sugar on them and, you know, pizza, things like that, which makes it difficult. So I would say that's probably one of the hardest things. The second hardest is planning ahead. That's where, I mean, I love my mother to death, but I remember when I was even 5 years old, we would get home and she would be very flustered about what to have for dinner. Like, I just don't know what we're going to have. And it would be a lot of times, you know, rice and just things that she would kind of throw together. So I learned from her to always prep the night before. So planning ahead is a big key to success. So, you know, whether I am filling the crock pot the night before, or if we're going to have hamburgers, you know, making sure that everything's thawed out and the bread is in the freezer and ready to go. And if we're going to have a salad, everything's prepped, because when I get home from work, I'm hungry and I want to eat. And so it's usually, you know, a really quick, getting it out of the fridge onto the table as fast as possible, but still, enjoying it. But planning ahead makes that enjoyable, so I don't have to stress out about what to make. And I don't want to stop somewhere to pick up something at a restaurant.
I see. And, you're also living in a sugary world, right?
Yeah.
And so, it's I would imagine it's very tempting and challenging for someone to learn to live like that. Obviously, if you create a safe haven at home with the healthy fats and with the low carbohydrate options available, that's great. But when you go to someone's house or when you're traveling or, wherever you may be at work, this and that, it's got to be, one can imagine, fairly difficult to get through all that. But I suppose if you're really focused, et cetera, that'll help. And the other thing, too, is that what if someone says, I miss something sweet? I want something sweet. What do you tell them?
Well, I do have a lot of desserts. And again, you mentioned what my blog is. I have over 1,000 free recipes right there. So you can dabble your toe in there to see, if you like. But like I said, ice cream is, I grew up on a bedtime snack. And so an ice cream was one of those things. And that's why I was so heavy. But,
what is sweetening the ice cream?
Well, I like to use stevia glycerite, or like a Swerve. Swerve is a brand name that I typically use just because it's very, it's cup for cup like sugar. And that's made of, just things that come from nature. So it's not, when people say, I don't use artificial sweeteners. Well, it's not artificial. It comes from nature. If you know what the stevia plant is, it's no different than, extracting, honey and processing that into honey, or, maple syrup and boiling that down. It's just, it comes from nature. It's sometimes a little bitter tasting. So that's why I like to use the stevia glycerate, which doesn't have the bitter taste. And you do have to be your best detective with that, because you can now find these in every single grocery store that you go to. Stevia in the raw is a common brand that you'll find on the grocery store shelf. However, if you buy that, look at the first ingredient. It's called maltodextrin. Now, maltodextrin is a corn derivative, and sugar has a glycemic index of 52, and maltodextrin is about 110. So this is a product that I would put right back onto the shelf and move along. So you have to be a detective, but that's where I do a lot of that work for you, and I outline it in my blog and help you along that way. And, questions arise all the time. And that's where, if you do have questions, I'm here to help. So, I just want them to know that I would reach out. If
Excellent.
They want to reach out to me, I'll answer back.
Well, that's wonderful. And where do people find Swerve?
Swerve is now on most grocery store shelves. If it's not, they're usually very cool to carry it for you. Grocery stores are really awesome about that. They want to keep you as a customer. So if you want something, they're more likely to bring that in. So you can find that either online. It's on Amazon. Definitely health food stores or your typical grocery store. You can certainly ask them to bring it in. I have. And
okay. Yeah. Well, it's just, it's important to know that, a lot of people just like sweets. Some people do. And I think that especially when you've been weaned on it, as the grand majority of people around the globe have, they're going to want a substitute, some people cook with dates and then they sweeten with dates. And so they'll mash dates up a little bit and they'll use them as this and use them as that. As a natural source of sweetness in addition to stevia, which is an herb in the appropriate form. So there are other things you use. Obviously carrots have some sweetness to them. Beets have sweetness to them.
Sorry.
Those are what?
Well, anything underneath the ground is a starch. So those would most likely take you out of ketosis.
Yeah. Well, you know, interestingly, I'm really following the science on a lot of this, and it really kind of depends upon how much you actually use. You know, if you just have a few shavings of a carrot in a salad, I don't know that you're really getting thrown out of ketosis in a big way. I think a lot of it really just has to do with portioning, you know, so that you don't lose an entire, you know, vegetable that can be, you know, potentially quite good for you. And
I thought you were talking about using it for a sweetener. Sorry.
Oh, no. I'm just saying using it, you know, in your dietary intake per se. I'm also curious about one last thing, and that is that issue when you said the fasting thing. Now, clearly when you're fasting, I don't care who you are, you're in ketosis. Ketosis mm-hmm. usually kicks in after about a good 6 hours of non-feeding. How many hours do you do non-feeding?
Well, I usually, anywhere from an 8 to 6 hour window of eating. So that would be eating at maybe 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and then closing the window. And that was kind of interesting. Someone made a comment on my book, and they said, I don't like this way of eating. I'm always so full. And it's like, well, that's a good thing. That means your blood sugar is staying nice and even. Hunger happens when blood sugar is falling. So you could eat like a huge Chinese buffet, and then 2 hours later, even though your stomach's still full, get hungry because that's your blood sugar falling. When you're eating in ketosis, your blood sugar stays nice and even. And so a lot of times people find that eating two times a day, usually, like I mentioned, you know, maybe 10 and 3, or maybe it's noon and 5, those type of eating patterns often happen. And I used to be the one that used to think not eating right away in the morning breakfast was a no-no. But knowing the science behind how muscle loss happens when you are a sugar burner is much different, and it doesn't happen when you're a ketogenic burner. That's because if your body needs a fuel, and if you're not running on ketones, you're running off of glucose. And when you're not feeding it glucose, it steals from your muscles, and it also steals from your bones. And this happens when you're sleeping, too. This phenomenon does not happen when you're in ketosis, and that's why these bodybuilders are really into, ketogenic diets for keeping their muscle gained.
So really, at the end of the day, you know, you really spend, a good 16 hours in non-feeding, and that gives you your 8 hour, you know, window, for sure.
Yeah.
And so you really do spend a goodly amount of time in this interesting state. The science on this is turning out to be quite fascinating all the way around. I'm following it very, very closely. And more of this wonderful literature is popping up. And, you know, I tell everyone out there to really stay on top of new scientific developments as people begin to look at the total number of hours that one really needs to feed during the day, which I think is just one topic in general. And then the rest of the day, you really are in a non-feeding state. And then we're now augmenting this with more of a ketogenic type diet to really kind of almost continue the whole ketotic state, which is really quite fascinating. I find this all very interesting. So when I saw your, your books and your work, I was really interested in having you on to help explain what this new phenomenon is all about. So I'm going to encourage everyone out there to please check out Maria Emmerich's wonderful website. I found it to be terrific. It's called MariaMindBodyHealth.com. And also there's another website, keto-adapted.com. www.keto-genic.com. And when you go to those websites, you'll get a chance to be able to enjoy the blogs, the recipes, and all of the wonderful work that Maria has done putting this together as an expert in nutrition and exercise physiology. And get on out there and look at this 30-day ketogenic cleanse, the 30-day ketogenic cleanse. This is really a great book to begin to learn what this whole phenomenon is about and how you might want to be able to adapt it in your own life. And then also her bestseller, The Ketogenic Cookbook, and Quick and Easy Ketogenic Cooking. Maria, thank you for your fabulous work. You've really done a great contribution here. It's been really, really quite wonderful. And keep it up. We'll definitely have you back on. And I say, hey, you know, to my walnuts right in front of me, wonderful fat and protein, just a little bit of protein, tiny bit of protein. There it is.
Yep, a perfect amount. There you go.
You got it, Maria. Oh, thank you so much for your wonderful work in helping us understand this. So, everyone out there in Her Radio Land, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please just take a moment and rate the podcast as well as leave a review, because we need to hear from you. We want a boatload of people like you just giving us feedback, talking to us, interacting with us, and I read all of this. Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you could also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.